Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember hearing these words growing up? You're going to get a spanking when your father gets home. Perhaps that was said to you as a child. Or perhaps that's being said by you to your own children. And in a loving family, we know that spankings are done for the good of the one being spanked. In like manner, our Heavenly Father, who loves us as His children, will also spank us for our good. And that's what it says in Hebrews the 12th chapter and verses 5 through 11. Let's turn there, please, to Hebrews the 12th chapter and verses 5 through 11. Have you forgotten the exhortation that speaks to you as children? My child, do not despise the spankings of the Lord, for the Lord spanks every child because He loves them. It is for our profit. Why? So that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, no spanking is pleasant in the present. Instead, it hurts. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness for those that learn their lesson. And God doesn't want any to perish. God wants us to learn our lesson that sin doesn't pay. Didn't God say that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life? And in our series, this particular series, which overall is entitled God is Love, We Must Be Love, what we've been doing is showing how God loved the world by giving us His only begotten Son. And so we're continuing on that theme today, and in Luke chapter 23, we're going to find the story of Jesus carrying the cross. This was after He was scourged and beaten, and He's carrying the cross, and women are lamenting, bewailing, bemoaning what is happening to Him. And He says something very interesting to these women, and it's going to teach us a great lesson about how God is demonstrating His love for us by giving us His only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. And so let's turn, please, to Luke chapter 23, and we'll read verses 27 through 31. This is Luke 23 and verses 27 through 31. And there followed Jesus a great company of people and of women, and these women bewailed and lamented Him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore children, and the breasts which never nursed a baby. Then they shall begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Now you might be saying, Wait a minute, how does this show the love of God? In fact, what is this even talking about? Well, I'll explain it. The first part, where it says, Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. What Jesus is trying to get across to us is that He, as the Lamb of God, was being led as a lamb to the slaughter, and His death was actually a victory and triumph over Satan, sin, and society. So we don't need to weep for Him, because His death was for the payment of our sins. In other words, He was spanked so that we don't have to be spanked. He took on Himself our sins and therefore our death so that we don't have to suffer and die for our own sins. But He's saying that, weep for yourselves and for your children if you do not accept my sacrifice, if you do not recognize that I am being spanked in your place. Then you're going to have to be spanked for your own self in order to teach you the lesson that you do need to turn to me and to my Father to accept His gracious gift of my life for your sins. That's what Jesus was telling the women. That's the love of God, as He's encouraging them to actually repent. And so He says, Do not weep for me, but weep for your own sins and the sins of your children, which caused my death. and weep for fear of the miseries which you shall bring upon yourselves if you slight the love of God and reject His grace. So there was Jesus carrying the cross, in effect pleading with the women to accept Him, not just weep for Him as though that was the end of it and then go about their lives, but to understand that they needed to weep for themselves, to repent of their own sins. That's the message that He was trying to get across. And then the next part is where He said, "For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore children, and the breasts which never nursed a baby." How is that showing the love of God? Well, let's turn, please, now to Matthew chapter 24. And we'll read verses 15 through 21. This is Matthew chapter 24 and verses 15 through 21. Here it says, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Don't even return from the field to gather provisions. And woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight is not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Why? For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, nor to this time, nor ever shall be." And you know that in 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed, which was a foreshadowing of this great tribulation that shall come probably within our generation or the next. And so Jesus was warning them that there's going to come a time when people are going to say that it would be better for women not to even have children. Now that's the glory of a woman, is to have a child, but it would actually be better at that time for women not to have a child, because they wouldn't be able to stand to see what would happen to their children, or what would happen to themselves, perhaps dying and leaving their children as orphans. So He's saying that there's going to be some really rough times when people will be spanked out of love, because God loves all of His children. So He's going to spank them to teach a lesson, but those spankings are going to be really tough. It's not going to be pleasant at the present time, but it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness for those who learn the lesson. And now the third thing that He said to them was, there's going to come a time when people will say to the mountains, "Fall on us," and to the hills, "Cover us." How does that show the love of God? Well, it's a similar theme to what we just talked about. But let's turn to Revelation chapter 6, and we'll read verses 9 through 17 this time. We can find this in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 17. And this is talking again about the great tribulation. It starts off by saying, "And when the Lamb," and note that this is the same Lamb that was slain for our sins, "when the Lamb, who now has been resurrected and been glorified after He ascended to heaven, when this Lamb had opened the fifth seal," and as we read in Matthew chapter 24, if you go back and draw the parallel between Revelation 6 and Matthew 24, you'll see that the fifth seal is talking about this same great tribulation as in Matthew 24. So it says, "When He had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were murdered for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And I beheld, when He had opened the sixth seal, that there was a great earthquake." Now, what is this sixth seal? It says that during the sixth seal, the sun became black and the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, or when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places, and people from all walks of life hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. So now listen to this next part. It says, "And the people said to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.'" That's the key, for the wrath of the Lamb, "for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" That's the whole point. There will come a time when the wrath of the Lamb will be unleashed. The spankings will occur, and it's going to be so, so painful that people will be crying out to the rocks and the mountains, saying, "Please fall on us and cover us so that we can be hidden from the face of Him that sits on the throne." Can you imagine that? Asking a rock and a mountain to fall on you rather than continuing to suffer from the spanking of God? That's how severe it's going to be because of the stubbornness of people. But God, out of love, needs to inflict that much pain because we are so hard-headed sometimes, and we need to have that lesson penetrate the hardness of our hearts, and so the spankings will be severe. Now Jesus said something else extremely interesting here. He says that when people are doing these things, if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? So what does this saying mean, and what does that have to do with the love of God? Well, this green tree seems to be a proverbial expression, the sense of which is, if they do not spare a tree, which is the green tree, by its beauty of its foliage and abundance and excellence of its fruits, this tree, which deserves to be preserved, if they do not spare that kind of tree, then the tree which is dry and withered will surely be cut down. And the lesson is this. If an innocent man, which is Jesus, the green tree, if an innocent man that deserves to live, because Jesus never sinned, so he didn't deserve to die, if this innocent man that deserves to live is put to death in the face of justice, because Pilate and Herod proclaimed on four separate occasions that Jesus was innocent, so in the face of a trial and justice, people still cried out for Jesus to be put to death, crucified, murdered. So if it happens to an innocent man that deserves to live, if they put him to death, and these are people who profess to be governed and directed by divine laws. These were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the scribes, even the high priest. These people claim to be governed and directed by divine laws. And if they did that to a person who deserved to live, then what's going to happen to people who live a sinful life? That's the dry tree. So Jesus was drawing a comparison between himself, a green tree, and sinners, the dry tree. And Jesus, as the green tree, is the good man, and the dry tree is the bad man. And so again, Jesus was saying, if an innocent person suffers the way I am, what will become of the wicked? A green tree naturally resists fire, doesn't it? Because it's not dry. But a dry tree actually attracts fire because it's a proper fuel for the fire. And so the proverb again here plainly means, if such sufferings alight upon the innocent one, the Lamb of God, what must be in store for those who are provoking the flames to be lit? What must be in store for those who are as ready for destruction as dry wood is for the fire? That's what Jesus was saying. If this is happening to me, a green tree, then what's going to happen to people who are dry trees? And so again, in summary, the death of Christ was God's victory over Satan, sin, and society. His resurrection is the salvation of the world. Therefore, we don't have to weep for him, but we should weep for our own sins if we slight his love and reject his grace. If God delivered him, his own son, Jesus Christ, to be delivered to such sufferings as what he went through because he was made a sacrifice for sin, then what will he do with sinners themselves who make themselves a dry tree, a corrupt and wicked generation, and good for nothing? The bitter sufferings of our Lord Jesus should make us stand in awe of the justice and love of God.